Greetings in the name of the one who brings peace and roots us in home. So early last week, after our Synod Assembly, Jazzy and I spent a few days hiking in Sequoia National Park. Our treks led us through the ancient elders, the giant sequoias, and through meadows peppered with corn lily and wildflowers, where from a distance we quietly witnessed a bear lead her young cubs across the brilliant green meadow floor. I don't know what words to use to describe how I experienced this time in the park. It was stunning, yes, spectacular, profound perhaps, a profound grace. I felt gratitude for the people, some of you, many of you, whose lives have been spent preserving and protecting these places. There was something about the experience, too, that was healing or whole or grounding, expansive. The giant sequoias can grow hundreds of feet high. The oldest can be as old as 3,000 years. Can you imagine to what history they have borne witness? They have felt the vibrations as the steam engine began its march across the North American continent. They adjusted to the changing air quality at the advent of the industrial age. They have sensed the repercussions of countless wars. They have exchanged air with the most ancient of prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Muhammad, the Buddha. And somewhere deep in those cellular rings may lie the carbon dioxide mark of an exhale of Jesus. They have endured countless wildfires and bear their scars. The breadth of their lives is staggering, and the time they represent offers perspective on my own. Life is short and each moment eternal. I know not everyone has the same experience of being outdoors. There are mosquitoes to swat away and unpredictable and very ugly flying insects. And nature can be indiscriminate, it can be indifferent, it can be scary and cruel. I acknowledge this. Even so, after news of Uvalde, it was the only place that felt to me big enough, quiet enough, open enough, and old enough to bear up honestly under this news. Nature is, for many who experience violent trauma, a place where they can go to begin the lifelong work of bringing the broken parts of life back together. Fighting for its preservation is to fight for our own. It is to keep and tend sanctuaries where the most vulnerable among us can heal. Whether acknowledged or not, we are bound to each other, the land and us. When the news cycle fades, the children who survived in that fourth grade classroom will need spaces like this today, tomorrow, and every day after, alongside trustworthy adults, to let them fall apart and to help hold them together. So will the parents of all those students. And we adults who are brave enough must continue to work for common sense gun reforms. We do not need assault rifles to uphold the Second Amendment. Our first reading today is the story of Pentecost, this reminder that the followers of Jesus have not been left alone to carry on the work of love, justice, and mercy that Jesus started. We have been given an advocate, a counselor, a consoler, a comforter, a helper. It is interesting to me that the English word helper is the same word used to translate from the Hebrew, the name of the one God gave Adam in the second creation story of Genesis. Genesis 2:18 reads this way: "It is not good that Adam or humankind should be alone. I will make Adam a helper as his partner." The need for someone to help us, to carry us through, to stand alongside us and share the burden of the work goes deep, far into our stories of origin, back into the very creative force from which we've come. We have been made, created for help and for helping. We were not made to carry the hard work in front of us alone. In preparation for his departure, in one of his farewell discourses, Jesus sees this need and meets his disciples there. In John's Gospel, though Jesus knows he will be leaving, he reminds them that they will not be alone. The Spirit is there with them. And in one of the Gospel verses that was optional for today, but that Rachel read, Jesus says this, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." This deepest kind of help, this companionship, a partnership that completes us, is one marked by a profound peace, a safe place, a home in which our troubled and fearful hearts can rest and carry on to do the work of love, justice, and mercy to which we are called. Perhaps there is a reason that the Holy Spirit, this advocate and helper, is often described in natural terms: a bird, a wind, a fire. Amidst the noise and the news cycles and the hateful words and the faith that grounds responsible and necessary political action, perhaps there is something that whispers between the towering boughs of the redwood, the ancient trunks of sequoias, across the lava fields of the volcanoes, in the twitter of a Steller's jay or a Shama thrush, and reminds us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." We have in our community a few goodbyes today. The Larson family will be moving to the Pacific Northwest to continue military and nursing service and to attend Oregon State University and to continue eighth grade. And Reed is moving on from his position here to continue his musical and vocational growth with the Royal Hawaiian Band. They each have offered their gifts and services here, and we send them off into their unique journeys ahead with our blessing, trusting that a presence of peace, of help, and of home goes before them, surrounds them, and is with them always. With the redwoods, the Ohialehua, the bears that cross the meadow floor, you are home. And you are not alone in the work to which you and we have been called. There is a grace that goes before you. Amen. Please rise for a hymn of the day.